for the pilot who may not have those particular set of skills, who wants to be hands-off and not really worry about it, they might opt in to the market-based cash balance plan and say, hey, you know what? Here's another benefit for me. It's accruing, you know, retirement income. I want the pressure, it to be professionally managed, and I don't want to have to think about it.
Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money. This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights, let's roll. Welcome back to Passive Income Pilots, everyone. I'm your host, Tate Duryea, here with my good buddy, Ryan Gibson. What is happening, brother?
Not much. I'm very enthusiastic to talk about today's topic, which is cash balance plans, which is being rolled out at airlines. Delta was the first one to get it. And I am going to give my opinion, unfiltered.
Ryan's getting fired up.
My opinion. So if you're a pilot out there and you're wondering at Delta if you should enroll in it or flip it off, again, we don't give any tax, legal, or investment advice on the show. We just give friendly knowledge and insights, and we bring on really good guests to talk about it. But I'll tell you what my personal opinion is in today's show, and I am fired up about this cash balance plan. I am not a fan. I'm going to give you a little hint. I'm not a fan.
Ryan's fired up, and for good reason. You know, we have an incredible guest today named Timothy Pope, who is a certified financial planner, works exclusively with airline and corporate pilots, is very, very familiar with contracts, which we get into, and all of the incredible contracts that are dropping in the aviation industry right now, as well as the intricacies of our benefit plans, which include cash balance.
What's also cool too is we get into an overview of all the contracts being rolled out in the aviation industry. So we're going to go into that from a high level standpoint. So if you're listening and you're not in aviation, not in the airlines, don't care about cash balance plans or the status of airline contracts, yeah, you can probably skip back a couple of episodes or skip forward a couple episodes. but if you're curious of these things, you know, what goes on in an industry like aviation, you know, tune in and listen. But this is really specific for pilots who are getting these types of contracts, or people who would like to get into the airlines and know kind of what they're getting into.
And if your airline has a cash balance plan, this is a must listen episode, because you have a do or die decision that you have to make. So get educated right now. Let's get to the show. Tim, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So to kick things off, you want to give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So I'm a financial planner, certified financial planner that specializes in helping professional pilots. I'm also a GA pilot who's, when I'm not working, the kids and I are enjoying flying low and slow. We're here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So most recent trips, we've been finding the local barbecue. But I've been in the financial services for the past 10 years, and then launched this practice focused on professional pilots 3 years ago. You guys, you remember COVID, you remember seeing the pictures of all the jets being parked. And what was frustrating at that time for me was there was a number of advisors just kind of ambulance chasing, right? And I felt like they were giving my profession a bad name, but they were ambulance chasing to pilots who were, some of them were being furloughed, some of them just working less, right? And there was all this stuff in the news about like, hey, you know, aviation is going to be changed forever and all this stuff, right? And so some advisors were being really opportunistic. And so what happened was there was an opportunity for me to mix my passion with aviation with my experience as a CFP and a need in the industry. And so the practice was born.
That's excellent.
Tim, I wanted to jump in and talk about your knowledge on cash balance plans and what some of the airlines are doing right now and new contracts, and you know what pilots should think about them or how they should look at them and how you've helped your clients to sort of navigate these new things happening in the industry.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. So we'll look back and think about 2023 being is like the year of a bunch of contracts being passed, right? And what we're seeing with major airlines is the market-based cash balance plan showing up and a lot of the contracts. So Delta kicked us off earlier this year. And essentially, the way to think about it is there's a couple of factors you want to think about with the market-based cash balance plan. So the old problem was, as an airline pilot, right, you're getting this direct contribution. Historically, it's been 16%. And then, but the company is only allowed to consider like the first $330,000 compensation towards that. So then once you max out your 401k and you're making over 330, the company has to cut you a check, right? So that's going to be taxed at ordinary income tax. And it's also going to, you know, have your dues taken out of it if you're part of the union. And so what the market-based cash balance plan does is if you've opted in, that will allow that spill cash to go to the market-based cash balance plan. It looks and feels like a 401k, but unlike the 401k where you have direct access and you can manage the investments, in the market-based cash balance plan, you're not able to do that, right? So it's going to be professionally managed at a set asset allocation. The benefit for the pilot is that that spill cash is the taxes are going to be deferred, right, into the plan versus being cut, a check to you every month and having to pay taxes on that. So we're starting to see that. Delta has one, United and American, it's in their TAs. It was in FedEx as well. Theirs was a little different, and we can talk about the differences there. But that didn't pass, but I expect that to show back up in their next one.
So let me get this straight. I make good income. I max out my 401k, and then I have this cash that spills over into my cash balance plan that defers my taxes to retirement, but I still have to pay those taxes eventually. So I still am paying the taxes. So I just want to get that straight at some point in my life. So I'm not avoiding taxes. I'm just deferring them.
Correct.
And secondly, I'm losing control over how I invest that money. I haven't heard of benefit yet. What's the benefit?
Yeah. So you are the benefit in a lot of cases is that tax deferral. So Ryan, you are 100% correct. It's not moving to a tax-free account or anything like that. It's for, you know, pilots who take a relatively hands-off approach, right, with their investments. Maybe they feel they don't have the expertise or they don't feel particularly savvy. And so they want to defer those taxes and put it in the cash balance plan. You do lose control 100%, and you will have to pay taxes at some point. There's no escaping that.
What do you mean about lose control? Is it that just means that, is it like normally where you log into Fidelity, you can, you know, elect, you know, a 2040 plan, 2035 plan. What do you mean by that losing control? Is it meaning you no longer can select what you're invested in?
Correct. That's right. And so the market-based cash balance plan has to be professionally managed by a professional money manager, right? And the way they build these is they'll tell you what the asset allocation is going to be. So I believe Delta's is targeting like a 40% stock, 60% bond allocation, right? And I think that FedEx was going to be like 55-45. And so they're targeting these allocations. But like Ryan, you log in, you'll see it. You'll see it show up right next to your 401k, depending on where the record holder is. But you can't say, hey, I want to move to cash, or I want to go into 100% tech fund or something like that. So that's what I mean by lose control.
And why is that? Why do we have to give up control? Why can't we have it like all of our other accounts?
Excellent question. So the market-based cash balance plan falls under the defined benefit rules, right? You think of like old school pension. Hey, you got this number here. It's assigned to you, and you know, but it's subject to the company's creditors and blah blah blah, right? So the market-based cash balance plan is under the defined benefit rules versus the 401k is under the defined contribution rules. So with a defined contribution, you've got control. Defined benefit, you don't have control.
All right. I know Tate's trying to jump in here, so I'll ask one more question, and then he gets it back. So one last thing, can I pick my money manager, or is the airline picking that for me, or the union?
Yeah, the company and the union the company has chosen the money manager and let the union know.
Gotcha.
So I have a tag on question on that, which is, you know, if it's under the defined benefit rules, you know, one of the drawbacks of a pension is that if the airlines go through another round of really bad bankruptcies in 5-10 years, would that be subject to elimination? Or are you vested like a 401k?
Yeah. So you are immediately vested, and it would, if the airline went through a bankruptcy or something like that, the market-based cash balance plan would not be subject to their creditors. So that is, you know, you think about old school pension, you kind of shy away from it just because you've seen what American right. companies have done over the past 40 years, right? But with the market-based cash balance, it's going to be yours. And, you know, it'll move to your estate as well if something happens to you.
That's super interesting.
When does an aviator have access to it?
So, yeah. So excellent question, Ryan. It's age 59 and a half. You can start to make rollovers into an IRA if you'd like. And then obviously at retirement, you know, you would get the full balance.
So if you're close to 59 and a half and you just wanted to sit on the money, you could put it in the cash balance plan. And once you hit 59 and a half, roll it to a self-directed IRA and potentially invest in real estate with it, right? That might be an interesting strategy.
You could. Yeah, you absolutely could. And the other thing about, like, so for somebody that's closer to retirement than further away, one of the features of the market-based cash balance plan is that you will never get out less than your contributions to it, because it is part of that defined benefit world. So when you think about, you know, somebody who has 20 years in the game, like, the market's going to do what the market does, and that's not really an issue for them. But for guys that are closer to retirement, or, you know, later in their career, they can put in knowing that, hey, I'm not going to get out a dollar less than what I put in.
That's a really great benefit. I don't think I think that probably gets overlooked a little bit more than it should. Okay, so I can talk to the spillover, because this is something that it's a good problem to have. I can tell you that if you make, you know, over that what is it, highly compensated employee limit. Which last year was 300, this year it's 330. So the company can only contribute to your 401k. It has nothing to do with what you put in, because that gets a little bit complicated. Mm-hmm. How much you're putting in and how much room you have left to equal the total amount, right? So every dollar that you make over $330,000 this year is going to have to either go into your paycheck. Like, they can't take that 16% and put it into your 401k anymore, right? So you essentially get, you know, in October, I have the benefit of getting about a 16% raise, because that spillover ends up on my paychecks. For me, I don't mind the additional tax hit, because I'm a real estate professional and I'm able to use real estate depreciation losses to offset that. But for somebody else who doesn't have that benefit and is looking at paying, particularly if they live in a high income tax state, they might be paying 45 cents on every one of those dollars to the government. And they might think, okay, well, I'd much rather have that spill into the cash balance plan. So it really, I think it depends on your tax situation, right?
I think it depends on your tax situation, but then also the opportunity cost, right? So Ryan was saying, like, right. Hey, as we work through it, he's like, hey, I don't see a big benefit, but you're a professional pilot. You're also a real estate professional. You know what you can do with those dollars, right? And so, you know, I was on another show talking about this exact thing, like, hey, who might this be a benefit for? Who might, you know, sign up for it? Who might say, hey, no, you know, I'm okay. The pilot who understands what they can do with those dollars outside of the capital markets, right? They might say, hey, you know what? I'm going to opt out of the market-based cash balance plan. I'm going to continue taking this as is, and I'm going to invest it over here because I'm going to get a greater return.
Right.
For the pilot who may not have those particular set of skills, who wants to be hands-off and not really worry about it, they might opt in to the market-based cash balance plan and say, hey, you know what? Here's another benefit for me. It's accruing, you know, retirement income. I want the it to be professionally managed, and I don't want to have to think about it.
Makes a lot of sense.
And you can opt out?
One time you can opt out.
Oh, that was my next question, is where's the toggle switch?
Yeah. So one time, and that's if you're on property right now. So for new hires that come on after this passes, they're going to be automatically opted in. So for your Delta listeners that were thinking about this, I think their voting has already closed. It's in the middle of August when we're recording this. So if they have an opt-out, they're in.
And when you say opt-out one time, you meaning like I can throw the switch and never participate in it as of right now, as a current Delta pilot. I could say, I don't want to opt into this thing, and then just can I ever turn it back on, or is this off forever?
Yeah, so it's one time irrevocable decision.
Wow.
Got it. So you have to make a decision. So this is a huge decision. Huge decision. And I kind of want to cut through the noise of here and make this applicable. If you are okay with not paying taxes today, but paying taxes in the future. So right. Like a traditional 401k versus a Roth, this is basically like a traditional vehicle. And so you are basically assuming that your tax situation with this money is going to be better when you retire, meaning you're going to have less income coming in, you're going to pay less taxes, right? Or that the tax brackets are effectively going to be the same or less as what they are today, because you're going to pay taxes in the future. The risk you take, in my opinion, is what if taxes go up? What if tax brackets change? And if anybody thinks taxes are going down, I don't think taxes are going down. I'm not here with my crystal ball or anything, but you're basically saying, you could be paying those taxes today, and you could be paying less taxes than you potentially could pay in the future on that cash. That is a reality. And you're making a gamble, essentially. So when I look at this, I'm not really seeing a benefit, because if I can get that cash, pay the taxes on it, I can still go invest in a 60-40 allocation of stock, stocks and bonds and mutual funds. Or if I'm a pilot that, has been on property for a couple of years, and maybe I just upgraded to captain, now I'm making $300,000-$400,000 a year. Obviously you're in this predicament. Maybe I was at a regional for a long time and didn't do so hot, or maybe I got furloughed a couple times along the way. I haven't really been saving very much, and I want to buy a house. And, right. Those extra dollars coming in, I could now have a choice. I could buy my house or invest in, a better situation for my family, or I could still invest it in the stock market in a Roth plan versus a traditional, and maybe hedge my bets a little bit in the future on taxes going up. So, when I first heard of these plans, I was super skeptical, and I'm not here to bash them. I'm here to ask questions and learn. And that's why we have this podcast. But man, I'm a little disappointed, to be honest, in how this rolled out. And I voted it that way as well. So anyway, just more of a tangent, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think that your point on the taxes, that was the first issue that we tackled when these plans started to come about. Right. And I think that the challenge is, the bet that taxes are going to be lower in the future. And I'm on record pounding the table that if you're a super saver and you have a long time horizon, that is probably not going to be the case. And I just like anybody else, I treat the future with the deference that it deserves. But your portfolio hits this critical mass, right? To where the earnings in the portfolio that it's generating is way more than what you are actually needing to withdraw. And so it's not reducing your taxes. And the other point, and then you're going to be forced to take it out at some point. And then the other point is, I agree with you, Ryan, I'm of the same sentiment. We're in some of the lowest tax brackets when you look at historically of the US. We're in some of the lowest ones. And so one of the challenges that we had was looking at, okay, if clients accept this, right, the money is being forced into this thing, and it's a traditional setup, a pre-tax setup, how do we get more Roth dollars in there? Now, right. Thankfully, with legislation that passed at the end of the year, you can elect to have your company's contributions go in Roth, like into the 401k where you have the control. So at least we have that. And I've seen the studies, I've seen running the numbers and with it, just with the market-based cash balance plan at somebody at a really high tax bracket and then taking the hit and then comparing it to, and I think that's where you really have to, if you decide to take the hit now, the tax hit now, that's where it comes in, the opportunity cost. Don't invest in the same thing. you got to do a little better, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, yeah, I'm with Ryan where, you know, I mean, if it's being invested 40% stock, 60% bonds, I mean, it's like, that's not where I want my allocation anyway. And, you know, if you implement some of the strategies that we talk about on the show, you can markedly reduce your AGI, your adjusted gross income by using depreciation benefits and real estate professional status, some short-term rental stuff. So, I mean, I just did the math. If your company contribution is 16% and in November, you're spilling over. If you have a $30,000 month and it spills over to your paycheck, it becomes a $34,800 month. And that can really be accretive to your savings and your ability to go out and execute on some of these alternatives that have these tax benefits that then can snowball tax benefits for you over the years. So yeah, to me, it's kind of a, I don't know, if you have access to alternatives and you have the wherewithal, yeah, it seems like a no to me.
If you listen to this show, you have access to alternatives.
Exactly. That's correct.
It's not if you do. If you're listening to the show, let's not beat around the bush. You have access.
I was trying to be humble, but Ryan is spot on.
I've been pretty fired up, if you haven't told about this thing since the beginning. Because guys, let's be honest. And, you know, I love, you know, Tim is being very respectful and he's framing it so well, you know, yeah. But me, I'm kind of like, you're taking away my control. You're taking away discretionary funds that I can use for whatever I want. You're putting it in some tax deferment vehicle that I'm still going to have to pay taxes on. Right. And you're not even letting me allocate the balance of stocks and bonds and alternatives. And you're doing it in a way that got lumped into a contract where, you know, it's like do or die, to vote this whole thing down or accept it. Yeah. And now new hires don't even have a choice. Yeah. And I don't see a benefit. Well, you know, and if you've already maxed out your 401k for the year anyway, you've done an excellent job saving, right? That's the whole point of this. Like, that's a really good amount of money to put and allocate into the stock market. And now you're just getting another, you're jailing this money for until retirement, and you cannot start taking that money and building cash flow, which, you know, and this unfortunately, pilots don't learn that. They don't
learn.
This
is exactly the point that we harp on all the time is that because the 401ks for pilots are so generous without this component, we end up being so stock heavy. We end up with this massive 401k. And when you look at your total portfolio allocation, it's way weighted too heavy into the public markets. And so that's why we talk so much about real estate and alternatives and cash flow investing is to get away from that. So this would just be a way to put even more weight into, you know, the public market. So, and I think it's interesting that the company picks the asset manager. It's like, I wonder what kind of closed door deals are going on with that, but that's another topic.
We're not here to speculate. We're here just to beat up and make this applicable, right? So
exactly. Tim, what a timely conversation, because with all this going on, I got to be honest, we don't have one of these at my airline. So I wasn't aware that this was an issue, but excellent. We got to talk about this right now. Is there anything I want to kind of talk about the aviation industry as a whole and get kind of a market update on contracts and stuff like that and how that stuff is all going. Is there anything you want to talk about to close out the conversation on cash balance?
Yeah, I think we had a robust discussion on the cash balance plan, and I think that this is the platform to provide pilots with an alternative, right? So if you're Delta, your decision's already made. If you're United, American, FedEx, and anybody else who wants to bring one on board, you still have time.
Amazing. All right, so what's happening with the industry? I mean, high level, because we talked about one very specific section of these new contracts. But let's talk about all the other stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you can sum it up with, in terms of the aviation industry and being a professional pilot, it's a great time to be a professional pilot right now. You know, we had Hawaiian and Delta kick us off in 2023 with new contracts. We've got United and American on the table right now. Voting is open for American. And then Southwest is still trying to get a deal, right? And so what you're seeing is huge increases in compensation based on the equipment that you're flying. You're seeing already generous non-elective contributions of 16%, scheduled to go up to 18% as well. Some of the contract language is also giving pilots, you know, better work rules, right? So we actually don't get into the weeds on the work rules in our practice, but you know, we are we're aware of them. And the at the regional level, the regionals are being squeezed just like everybody else. So they're still continuing to offer eye-popping bonuses for direct entry captains. And then retention bonuses for current captains and current FOs at the regional level. And then also what we're seeing a lot of in the major airline contracts is the concept of retro pay. So they're going to back pay you a lot of times going from 2020 all the way up to 2023. And so what that will produce for pilots that ratify these contracts is that'll produce some lump sum payments. Right. In 2023. So that's on the airline side. On the corporate side, these corporate operators, they're being squeezed, you know, because airline flying is starting to look more and more attractive to their corporate pilots. And so they are losing pilots. They're giving new pilots higher income or bonuses and deals there. And then they're also offering more money to retain pilots. So almost like whatever corner of the industry that you go in terms of professional pilots, it's a great time to be a professional pilot right now. And then the last thing is, so typically when we look at these contracts and they come out, there's the compensation, which is probably the first area that that our practice looks at because, you know, our clients want to know like, hey, what does this mean for me, right? So we'll look at that. But then there's also the benefits. And we are pleased to see that there's updates to things like your long-term disability, short-term disability, which you guys are, you know, you talk about cash flow. So your medical is your key. If you haven't developed alternatives yet, your medical is the key to keep that cash flow going. So we like to see improvements on your long-term and short-term disability plans, your sick leave, life insurance, things like that. So I think that's the broad overview of what's going on in the industry right now.
How do listeners benefit from what you offer? What would you say would be the thing that they can do to get on your schedule or to connect with you? And what highest impact do you usually have on your clients?
Yeah, so I appreciate that, Ryan. So you know, our motto is we help professional pilots make the most out of life, right? We all get this one awesome life if we choose to make it awesome, right? We get 70, 80 years, right? And it's all about what you do with it. You know, a lot of guys got into this because they enjoyed flying. And then at some point it becomes a job, it becomes a gig, right? The financial benefits are noteworthy as well. And so we help professional pilots make the most out of life. And simply what that means is just helping them align the goals that they have in their head and their heart. Because everybody likes to pretend like this is like, oh, it's all like, you know, Excel spreadsheets and super, non-emotional. People are emotional beings, right? And so helping them with the goals that they have in their head and their hearts align with the dollars that they have, right? And when there's alignment, we feel that the pilots are getting the most fulfillment out of life. So we are a financial planning firm, a full service financial planning and wealth management. And so to that end, how folks can get on the calendar, go to the website, tpope.soteroinvestors.com, and schedule a super no pressure initial client consultation just to chat, right? See if there's a fit. And I think, Brian, you said, you know, or you asked, what is the biggest thing? So we help clients articulate their financial goals, plan them, and then execute. And then we're really pleased with the approach that that we take when it comes to tax planning. As financial planners, there is very little that we advise on that does not have a tax impact. And our view is to get in front of this, right? Get in front of the opportunities, bring them to the table for the client so that there's no surprises. And so then they can work on lowering that lifetime tax bill, because that's what it's about. Some years it may not be lower, but it's all about that lower lifetime tax bill. And so that's what we do.
Tim, I get questions all the time for CPA referrals. And the biggest complaint about someone's CPA, if they currently have one, is they don't strategize with me. There's no forward looking, like, hey, let's do this to set you up for next year. Or and I think a lot of times CPAs are so busy doing taxes that they don't have time to sit down with people and really strategize. So what are your thoughts on that? And, you know, is that something that you work closely with a specific CPA firm on, or do you plug and play with anybody's CPA? What does that look like?
Yeah. So you and I we both hear that same complaint, and we are the opposite. We will not file your taxes for you. Almost anybody can do that. A filing is simply the compliance to the actions that you've taken throughout the year, right? So we lead heavily in terms of on the planning side and being proactive, like we just mentioned. There are two firms that we work closely with. If a client comes to us and they already have a CPA, then of course we'll work with them, right? Develop a good working relationship and start bringing proactive ideas to the table. But there are a few firms that we work closely with.
Excellent.
That's great. Well, how can listeners get a hold of you? I think you mentioned your website. Is that the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, the website. They can also find me on LinkedIn as well. So if you just type in Timothy P. Pope on LinkedIn, I'll come up. And happy to chat with folks, right? So like if folks are currently engaged with a financial planner, they should be having these questions, particularly if they're subscribing to the ideologies and the opportunities that your platform offers. They should be having these conversations, and these opportunities should be part of their financial plan, right? So if you have a financial planner, you should be hearing these questions and being brought to the table. If you're a DIY, right? There's a lot of resources online. Everybody can be a DIY with Google. It's a time suck, right? And then if you're looking for somebody to have a full relationship with, that's where we come in. It's like, hey, go to the website, hit me up on LinkedIn. We're happy to chat.
Well, great. Tim, we wanted to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come onto the show and share this really knowledgeable, valuable insights on the cash balance plan that's been rolled out. And hopefully, if you're listening from one of those airlines, you've got a little bit more perspective on how to vote, how to give feedback to your union rep. And, appreciate you coming on and all the help that you give the aviation industry and in general. So thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. And for that, talk to you guys on the next show.